السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So continuation of our Sira Khatib al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam series. This is episode number 81, inshallah. So we've been talking about the Battle of Uhud, and we ended with the right after the battle, where the Hamra al-Asad, where the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba who had participated, they went out to meet the Quraysh who were returning. But when the Quraysh heard of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba stationed outside of Medina waiting for them, they were full of fear and they ran away. They went back to Makkah. So continuing on, some other incidents that happened in the third year of Hijri. So we talked about how the Battle of Uhud was in Shawwal. It was after Ramadan, Shawwal of the third year, so which is the 10th month. And then some other things that happened in that year. For example, Hassan radiallahu anh was born to Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anh. So he was born, and actually he was born either the 15th of Ramadan or the 15th of Sha'ban, one of those two. And then about 50 days later, Fatima radiallahu anha became pregnant with Hussein radiallahu anh. Another significant thing that happened in the third year of Hijrah was the prohibition of alcohol. Okay, so prohibition of alcohol, we know that it came down in steps. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just one ayah sent down. It came down in steps. So for example, first the Sahaba were told to stay away from alcohol when it's prayer time, okay, like that. So it came down in steps. Like first it was actually told to them that there's some benefit in this and there's something, so staying away from it is better. Then after that, it was told to them that stay away from alcohol while it was during the times of prayer. And then after that, the third incident or the third part was when it was banned outright. And we know that Aisha radhiallahu anha, her famous words about this, she says that the first of what was revealed of the wahi was the surah min al-mufassal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a dhikr of Jannah wal Nar, where Jannah and Jahannam is mentioned. And when the Muslims were strong in their iman, when they were prepared enough and their iman became strong enough, then the halal and haram was revealed. So we know in Makkah Mukarramah, all the ayat and all the surah that were revealed were talking about iman and yaqeen, talking about Jannah, Jahannam, talking about the hereafter, talking about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these types of topics to strengthen the iman of the mu'mins. Then when they went to Medina, that's when the halal and haram was revealed. And Aisha radhiallahu anha, she says, if the first thing to be revealed in the Quran was لا تشربوا الخمر, that do not drink alcohol, the people will surely have said that we will never leave Qabr. Meaning that's how the response would have been. And if the first ayat were to be that do not fornicate, do not commit adultery, then they would say we will never leave zina, we will never leave this. So Aisha radhiallahu anha is talking about the hikmah, the wisdom of how of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he revealed the ayat, strengthening the iman first. Also there's a famous story of Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu. We know his stepfather, Abu Talha al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu, was one of the prominent or the rich wealthy from Medina. And he actually had a bar in his house. This is before alcohol became haram. It was still halal. So he actually had a bar in his house, like a lot of non-Muslims have today, where they have in the basement or something, they have all these different, alcohol and stuff, and then the friends come over and they get drunk and that kind of stuff. So Abu Talha radhana actually had something like this in his house, and Anas ibn Malik radhana was what he's mentioning the hadith himself. He says that I was serving the friends of my stepfather. So the friends of my stepfather were over and they were drinking alcohol together. Anas radhana, being a young boy at that time, he said I was serving them the alcohol. And he said that while this was going on, someone came, we heard a crier in the street call out that alcohol has been haram, it's made haram now. And he said that there's reports that he said the ones that they had it in their cup, they spilled the cup. The ones that had it they were had it in their mouth and they're about to swallow, they didn't even take a second and say, you know what, this is in my mouth already, let me just swallow it. It's now and then I'll stop. But they spit it out. And the ones who had it in their stomach, they even went and they went outside and they forced themselves to vomit the alcohol so that not one thing gets in their body after the alcohol has been banned. So you see the strength of their iman, just like Aisha radhiallahu anha said, that their iman was so strong, once the halal and haram came, they were able to listen to this and go along with it right away. Now, the fourth year of Hijrah, we know that after the Battle of Badr, the Muslims had won, the Kuffar were defeated, 70 of their leaders were killed in Badr, 70 of them were taken as captive. So this sent a strong message to the surrounding tribes, where they became afraid of the Muslims. There was fear of the Muslims at that time, and they knew the Muslims were a strong force. Now after the Battle of Uhud, where the Muslims suffered a loss of 70 Sahaba, the uncle of the Prophet was killed, and then the Muslims were mutilated the way they were. So when the surrounding tribes, the Arab and stuff, they heard about this, it changed. So basically now that fear was gone, now they felt this jurrah, they felt this audacity or this strength, that they can, this courage to actually go and attack the Muslims. And you know, this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس. So how it changes. It doesn't go at one time, but it changes between one state to another. So in one hand, you had the Muslims were being feared by the surrounding Arabs. Then in the next, after Uhud, now they're getting prepared to attack the Muslims. So some of the things that happened, for example, the Sariyah of Abu Salama, Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad radiallahu anhu. So this is the Muharram of the forces. This is the first year, this is 2 months, you could say, or 3 months after the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims got word that Tulayha and Salama ibn Khuwaylid, these are two brothers, they were mobilizing an army to attack the Muslims. So the Muslims got this report that this is what's going on. So the Prophet sent 150 Sahaba to go and attack this army that was getting mobilized or getting ready to attack them. So they went out. When they heard of the Muslims coming out to fight them, they again, they were full of fear and they ran away. They dispersed. They didn't dare to come and attack the Muslims after that. Now, from amongst these two brothers, Salama did not become Muslim. But we know Tulayha, what happened after that, he became Muslim. And then after the Prophet ﷺ had passed away, he actually became Murtad. He apostated, he left Islam. And not only that, he went a step further and he started to claim prophethood. He started to claim prophethood. He started to claim that he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid. So he did this, and during the Khilaf of Abu Bakr Siddiq, he sent Khalid ibn Walid after him to go and attack him and his army. And Tulayha at that point ran away to Sham. He went further north to Sham and ran away, and he was not caught. Now, in one of the battles, it's mentioned that Shurahbil ibn Hassan, and I think I mentioned this in one of the earlier sessions of Seerah, but Shurahbil ibn Hassan, he was in one of the battles against the Romans. Okay, we know the Romans is from Sham in northern, from that area. So he's fighting these Romans, and before the battle begins, usually you have Mubaraza, where you have a few strong single soldiers go and they fight one-on-one before the actual battle begins. So Shurahbil radiallahu anhu goes against one of the Romans, and it's mentioned that it was raining and it was cold, and remember, the more north you go, the colder you get. And so this Mubaraza starts, and Shurahbil radiallahu anhu, he slips from his horse, he slips off and he falls, and this Roman has the upper hand against Shurahbil. So he has the upper hand against him, and Shurahbil radiallahu anhu, he calls out, he says, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin, O Allah, O the one who gives help and sends help to the ones who request or call for help. So he's calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help as he's about to be killed. And at that point, one of the soldiers of the Roman army starts coming forward with his horse, coming forward, galloping at full speed. And this Roman turns around to see one of his own soldiers, his army coming forward. So now he, you know, becomes more, you could say, empowered. So he takes out a knife, and he thinks, okay, I'm gonna gut him. I'm gonna basically kill Sharahbi Radhan, and not only that, but I'm gonna cut him with a knife. So he goes up to him forward, and he's about to kill Sharahbi Radhan, when all of a sudden, that Roman soldier that had left the army and is coming galloping up to him, he cuts and kills the Roman. To everyone's amazement, everyone's wondering what's going on. This is from our side, and we thought that he's going to go and help him to kill Sharahbi Radhan and kill this Muslim, but he instead killed our own men, a man. So what is this? What's going on? So he actually kills him, and Sharahbi Radhan, he also is amazed that who is this guy, and then on top of that, this man says to him, فَقَدْ أَتَاكَ غِيَاثُ اللَّهِ or غَوْثُ اللَّهِ, that الْغَوْثُ has come to you, meaning the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come to you. And now Sharahbi Radhan is even wondering even more, like, what's going on, who is this guy? He's speaking Arabic to me now. He's from the Roman side, and he came and he's speaking Arabic. And he was covered, you know, he had armor and helmet on and whatnot. So he asked him, he said, who are you? And he says that I am Tulayha, Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid. And Sharahbi Radhan becomes amazed. He's like, Tulayha? You're that Tulayha, the one who had claimed that he's a prophet, and he had done this, and he killed so many of our Muslims, and did this, all this, these actions. And he says that, yes, I am that same Tulayha. So then he says to him that, why don't you come with me? That basically, come with me, and you know, Allah will forgive you. Do tawbah, and Allah will forgive you. He says, no, after what I've done, I don't think I can, there's tawbah for me. He says, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everything that is before Islam. So basically, even now that you became Muslim, you apostated, and then if you become Muslim again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still forgive you from your sins. So Tulayha, at that point, he joins him, and he becomes Muslim. And it's mentioned that he went back, and he approached Umar Radhan, was the Khalifa at that time, and he went to Umar Radhan, and he basically said to him that, is there tawbah for me? And Umar Radhan saying to him that, you know, what are you talking about? There's tawbah for everyone. Anybody who asks for tawbah, he will be forgiven. And Tulayha then removes his face veil, or the scarf he had on his face, and Umar Radhan is shocked to see Tulayha. So he says that, it's you, it's Tulayha. And he says that, you know, for you there's no tawbah. Basically, you did all these sins, you did all these things, so there's no tawbah for you. But Tulayha, he becomes Muslim, and Umar Radhan, you know, they again forgive each other because of the Islam. And we know that Tulayha later on, he participated in many battles, especially the battles of Qadisiyah and Nahawand, one of the famous battles. And he actually was shaheed in that battle. This is 21 AH. 21 after Hijri, and he was shaheed in the battle of Nahawand. So again, you see how a person who apostated, and then after apostating, he actually claimed to be a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, he claimed to be a prophet, and then after that, and killing all the people that he had killed in the battles and fought against the Muslims, this man still, when he had sincere tawbah in his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah and accepted him as a shaheed, and he died in one of the battles. The next thing I want to talk about is the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu. And this is another piece of information came, a report came to the Prophet in the same month of Muharram, of the fourth year of Hijri, that Khalid ibn Sufyan of Banu Lihyan from Hudayl, from this tribe of Hudayl, that they're amassing an army to attack the Muslims. Okay, so this army is, they're amassing an army to attack the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ summoned Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu, and he said to him that, I am sending you to this tribe, to this Khalid, to kill him. Go and kill him. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he says that, describe him to me. Describe how he looks, or describe him to me so I know who he is. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him that when you see him, he will remind you of the shaitan. And not only that, but he will, basically, one of the signs that it's him is that you will feel a shudder, or you'll feel you'll feel afraid of him. Kusha'rira, meaning you'll feel like your hair will start to stand up. You'll feel afraid of this person when you first see him. So that's one of the signs. And he says that when I went there, he said that I saw this man, and just like the Prophet ﷺ had described, he said, I first saw him, and I felt this sudden shudder down in my spine, you could say, this fear or something that when he first saw him. And then he said that I started going towards him. So I started walking towards him. And he's saying this in himself. This is a riwayah in Abu Dawood and other books of hadith, that Abdullah ibn Uznais, he says that I saw him and I started moving forward toward him. And I started thinking in my mind, it was actually the time of Asr. It was Salat al-Asr time. And he said that maybe we might get into a fight. I might chase him or something, you know, it might take long. I don't want to miss my Asr prayer. So what he does is, he says that as I'm walking towards him, he said I started praying with motions. So he started doing umiyah, meaning he started with motions, started motioning for ruku and sujood, and he finished his asr prayer, probably musafir prayer, 2 rak'ah, where he prayed the prayer as he's walking towards this Khalid, and he says, I was doing this while motioning for ruku and sujood. So he said, when I got near him, Khalid asked me, who are you? Who is this man? Like, where are you from, or who are you? And he said, I'm from the Arab. And he said, I was acting like I was from Banu Khaza'a, who was not Muslim. Okay, it was a tribe that was not Muslim. So he said that I came, that I heard that you were gathering an army to fight Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fight the Muslims. And he says that I came to you to help you. I came to join you. And Khalid says, yes, I am busy in this. I'm mashgul, or I am doing this. I'm basically amassing an army to do this. So then he says, then I started walking with him and started conversing with him, planning or whatever they were doing. He was talking to him. He said that as soon as I got a chance, I took out my sword and I killed him and I severed his head. So he killed him. He took his head, and he said, it's reported in a riwayah, that he actually fled to a cave. He took the head and he fled to a cave, and the pursuants, they came after him, the ones who saw him or they were after him, that he killed our leader. And they actually came after him until they came to the mouth of the cave. And just like the Prophet ﷺ in the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara, that when they went to the Ghar Thawr, and they were, Abu Bakr Siddiq with the Prophet ﷺ were in Ghar Thawr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them by commanding a spider to weave or to a web in front of the cave. The same thing happened with Abdullah ibn Unais, and he was able to hide from them. They went away after seeing this, and he came out. He said that when it was nighttime, I secretly left, and he came back to the Prophet. Now, before he even reached Medina Munawwara, the Prophet had informed the Sahaba of what happened. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ was given wahi, was informed of what had happened, and he actually told the Sahaba that Abdullah ﷺ was successful, and he has killed Khalid from the Bani Hudayl or from Banu Lihyan. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ saw Abdullah ibn Abu Nais, he reached Medina Munawwara, and he first saw him, he called out, he said, Aflah al Wajh, meaning that you have succeeded. You have succeeded in your task. And the Prophet ﷺ went into his house, and he grabs an asa. Asa is like a staff. I think we don't have it, but like a staff that the Prophet ﷺ is sunnah to use a staff. So he came out with the staff, and he actually gifted it to Abdullah ibn Unais. And he said to him, so Abdullah radhan asked, he said, Ya Rasulullah, lima a'taytani hadhi al-asa? Why did you give me this asa? What's the purpose of this? Why did you give me this? And the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, Ayatun baini wa bainika yawm al-qiyamah. This is a sign or a symbol between me and you on the day of judgment. So the Prophet ﷺ says that to him, and then he goes on to say, Inna aqall al-nasi al-mutakhassirun yawma idhin. That there will be very little people holding staffs on that day. So that's one of the honors of that day, the day of judgment, that some people will be entering into Jannah holding staffs or walking with a staff. And the Prophet ﷺ said that very few people will be holding staffs on that day, and this will be a symbol for me and you. So he said, Amsik bihadi, like hold on to this and keep this with you. So it's related that Abdullah radhiallahu anhu, he took this staff, and he actually took the blade of his sword and attached it to his staff. So he made it into like a kind of like a long sword, or you could say like a spear type thing. And he kept that, and he would always have that with him. So he, whenever he left his house, wherever he would be, he would have that staff of the Prophet ﷺ with him until his death. And even after he died, he had wasiyah that when I die, then bury me with the staff. So in his grave, they put the staff inside the grave, and he was buried with that. So it's been 20 minutes. Inshallah, we'll stop here, and we'll continue on with one of the events, the tragic events of Raji' next week, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين